Welcome back to Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. Now today we've been on this journey where I'm taking you to the American Revolution Museum up in Yorktown, Virginia, kind of back in time because we were talking all about the Revolutionary War that was fought between 1775 and 1783. So yeah, that was a long time ago. But you know, the stories and the history and all the information about that time is so fascinating, not only just for history buffs, but really for all of us. Because there's so much that we can learn, especially as more information becomes available, and we can learn more of the stories of people that are not really focused on that much. You know, you hear about the big heroes, of course, but there were other people that were fighting pretty strongly and pretty with a lot of courage, that they were really there fighting to make sure that America became independent. And in the last three segments, we talked a lot about some of the forgotten soldiers that were actually fighting, that were Negro soldiers. But I want to shift gears a little bit now, and I want to talk a little bit more about some of the unsung heroes that were ordinary people just living their lives in an extraordinary time. And these were people who wanted to have their life be like, you know, just like normal. But that wasn't the case because there was war going on all around them. And when the war kind of came in, it just kind of swept you up in the time and in the moment and took you along with it. And in this particular case, the men, a lot of times they were either enlisting themselves or either when the people came into town, other, you know, encampments came into town, they said to the husbands and the older sons of the women there that you've got to come and you've got to join the army. So what did that leave for the women to do? That's the big question. And that's what I want to talk about in this segment. Because when you think about the women, if your husband is going off, you have a farm there, and now he's going off to fight in the war, and you're left at home with, say, three or four children, what are you going to do? I mean, how are you going to take care of yourself? How are you going to take care of the farm? All of these were things that the women were faced with. And again, like I said, these were just ordinary people. They were not people that were there ready, prepared to fight. As a matter of fact, war had not really been fought that much in America. So there was not a lot of knowledge about really how to set up and fight a war of this magnitude. So everybody was kind of learning as you go. So you can imagine as women, when your husband went off to war, either by enlisting or just as the military came to town, then you were just kind of left there. So what does a woman do? Does a woman leave? Do they stay back on the farm alone? Do they go and stay with relatives? Do you join up with other women who are in similar situations? So many actually went along with their husbands to war, and they were also taking their children with them. So the whole family was actually going along with them. So while I was at the museum up in Yorktown, I had a chance to talk with Laura Templin. She's an assistant interpretive site manager for the outdoor living history areas of the American Revolution Museum. And I asked her about the role that women played in the Revolutionary War. And I'd love to share that with you. Now, she starts off by stating one of the ways that they know that women were so involved in part of the encampments and going along with their husband was through medical records. Because you can imagine health was a very important part of everything at that time. And when the doctors were checking, they would find out some of the soldiers were actually pregnant. And they would be the wives of those soldiers, of course. So here, take a listen to my conversation with Laura.
You know, the doctor was going to be filling out reports that are going to go every day to the commanding officer, telling him who's sick, who's injured, you know, what's wrong with everybody. And we will get reports of how many men are pregnant. We're not talking about men, right? We're not talking about soldiers at that point. So who are these women and what are they doing with the army? And basically, you've got wives that have followed their husbands. So I want you to put yourself into the situation of being desperate enough to leave your hearth and home and carry your children on your back. Oh, so and the follow the army. Too. There was no choice. This is a cause of desperation. These women are women who were too poor, too alone. They didn't have relatives that could help them. You know, there's no way a woman with three kids under eight is going to be able to keep a farm running after her husband has left and joined the army. So if she can't team up with other people, she's going to end up following the army. And so camp followers in this time period were primarily wives. Oh, sorry. It's the military. They shoot occasionally. So these are wives of soldiers and families of soldiers, children of soldiers
that would have lived here.
Coming along with the Army, and they had nothing. The Army kind of didn't want them because they complained about them slowing everybody down and, you know, dragging along behind the Army and causing trouble. But really, what were they doing? They were providing some really necessary support for the military, something that we still need today. And we have whole corps of the military devoted to nursing and, you know, taking care of things like the laundry and so forth. You know, there were important tasks that the soldiers did not have time to do, and the women did. And so one of the primary ways that they kind of earned their living as they followed the Army was through doing laundry. And so that was a huge, huge task for them. But they had to be married to a man in the military. They could not be
just kind of showing up.
And you can understand why that would be a necessary rule, because there could be a lot of trouble with unattached young men and unattached young women. So that was strictly against the rules. And so they regularly called these women together. They would line them up, and they would line up the men, and they'd be like, who's claiming all these, you know, who's the husband of this woman, and so forth. And unfortunately, what happens then if your husband is shot or your husband dies of an illness? You're out. And of course, you're here because you have nowhere else to go. Because if you had any other choice, you would not do this. This is terrible. You know, you're living under scraps of cloth. You're living under lean-tos that you're building yourself. I mean, a lot of times they just, you know, whatever leaves and branches and stuff they could put together to make some kind of shelter, you know, they would get half rations. So if a guy got a pound of bread a day, you got a half a pound of bread a day, you know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And that was the best you could hope for. So what's in it for you? Well, at least you know whether or not your husband is dying. Okay, at least you're here. Mm-hmm. You are at least getting some food from the military and some protection. They were definitely considered off limits. And in a time period where the camps were way back from where the battlefield was and so forth, and you didn't have bombing from the air, they were pretty safe.
Yeah.
So they were very much a sort of a service arm of the military. And, mm-hmm. you know, certainly if your husband were wounded or ill, you would help to nurse them and take care of them as well.
And probably safer than being on a farm somewhere in the middle of the country.
By yourself,
yeah.
And, you know, and that's the thing. So if you had relatives that you could get together with, I mean, there are records of like three sisters all getting together and running one farm together and that kind of thing, you know, trying to team up. If mm-hmm. you could do something like that, then you did. But, you know, or you went back to your parents' house if they were still alive or whatever. Anything to avoid having to do this camp follower lifestyle, which was terrible. But there were plenty that had no choice.
And I'm sure that maybe there were some women who wanted to.
There may have been
like
some
a duty.
Adventure, yeah. Duty, absolutely.
Yeah, duty,
you know, everybody's got
that.
A different story.
Yeah.
And some of these ladies were amazingly tough. I mean, there are some really amazing stories from just, you know, there's definitely, of course, the famous stories of women who were helping to man the cannons, you know, carrying out the water to cool down the cannons, because you have to sponge them out in between each shot. Mm. It helps to cool them down, and it helps to put out the sparks so you don't blow up while you're loading them, which is kind of important.
Yes.
So you get women who help with the artillery. You get, that's where you get the famous Molly Pitcher sort of story of, you know, a woman who ends up taking over the artillery and firing after her husband is wounded in battle. There's a story of Sarah. She is famously quoted for, you know, she was here at the Siege of Yorktown bringing food and coffee out into the trenches while the bombardment was going on. And George Washington sees her and says, "Heavens, woman, you know, are you not afraid?" And she, not being terribly respectful type of young lady, said that it's either the bullet or the gallows. So evidently she felt that she was from a stage of life where she was probably not going to make it anyway. But she said that they shouldn't starve and have to fight too. So mm-hmm. she was out there feeding the men in spite of the fact that there was cannonballs going overhead.
Right, yeah.
And so that kind of
that kind
story.
Of sense of duty too,
yeah, yeah. You know, she was obviously a little a little spunky. she was talking back to the general, you know, but yeah, she was definitely one of those sort of tough ladies that made it through this.
So fascinating information. I mean, I cannot even imagine being a woman in that time and having to make those kinds of decisions. But, you know, when you're living in the times, you do what you have to do and what you know best at that particular time. So I hope you guys have enjoyed this journey back in time to talk about some of these unsung heroes and the forgotten soldiers of the Revolutionary War. It was fascinating for me. So I definitely hope you guys will check out their website at historyisfun.org. So love that name right there. It tells you that you're going to have some fun if you go and visit them up in Yorktown. And this exhibit of the Forgotten Soldier, it goes on until March 22nd of this year. So you definitely have time to check it out. Now, this has been a great show with me having you guys join me talking about history. Hope you'll join me again here on Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. Now, the show today has been brought to you by the Sapelo Island Birdhouses, a great place to go and kick up your heels and maybe read a little bit about the American Revolution and take that in while you're kind of kicking back on the porch watching the tide come in and out on one of those Sapelo Island Birdhouses. But you guys check in with me again on the next show, and I bring you another great destination here on Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. Thanks. Bye-bye. Oh, I want to get away. I want to fly away. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I want to get away. I want to fly away. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's go and see the stars.